Welcome to 20 Minutes with Leon, and every week, our special guest. Brought to you by Bio360 Expo, this is the podcast that shines a light on the movers and shakers of the bio transition and their vision to lead us to a vibrant, sustainable, circular bio world, one where life goes on. Hello, Anders. Anders Mathiesen, welcome to 20 Minutes with Leon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you for being our special guest today.
Thanks.
Maybe I can just say a couple of words to introduce you so that our audience know who you are and what you do. So for many years now, you've been working in the gas sector in Sweden. Is your country of birth and your where you've gained your stars and stripes in the sphere of gas, and more recently you took on the role of the president of the European Biogas Association.
Yes.
Would you like to say anything more about your perspective and where you've come from to reach this position today?
Well, I could just add that in Sweden we have been working with biogas and biomethane for some years now, and we started even with buses going on bus already in going on gas already in the 90s. So we are a very small market, but in some kind we have been quite good in some of the sectors in the biogas market, so to say. And then myself, I have been active in EBA in the association for 6 years before I got the president, and before that I was also active in the other association, NGVA, working for as much gas vehicles as possible in Europe. So I have been in some of the associations in Europe for some years now.
All right, so we can almost say gas is in your blood.
Well, almost.
Almost. You maybe don't. You yes. Maybe wouldn't want that.
Yeah. not too much.
Okay, so then maybe we can come straight to a question I think a lot of people will be wanting to hear the answer to. Very recently, the European Biogas Association held its annual conference, and some of us who regrettably looked at this a little bit late were found that the doors were closed because your room was to capacity, which of course we see as a good sign. And maybe you could just give us an overview of the main conclusions and how you felt this year's event differed, and what the key topics were that and conclusions that come out of that are.
Yeah, first of all, it was really sad that not everyone could come. You were one of them, sorry for that. But then we have learned a lesson until next year. Then we will have a bigger venue, so we can have everyone coming there. That's what I hope, is that we have learned. I'm very, very satisfied with this conference this year. Normally, every year a good and interesting perspective from different people, and very much about the production and very much about how the market is going. The big difference this year was that it was, you could say, more high-level conference. So this was the first time that we really had a commissioner talking at the conference. We had several people from the commission who were there active during these 2 days, and also some people from different government, Netherlands, Italy, and so on, also been active in this conference. And I think that means that we have reached a new level in the biogas and biomethane sector. We are now much more interesting for the politicians and for the officials all over, so to say. And that's quite a difference than before. So the main thing I have from this conference is that the people from the commission, they really wanted us to really be active. They wanted us to help them in the future to get to produce and as much biogas and biomethane as possible. And I'm it, it almost seems that they need us in the future. And that was interesting. That was completely another view than we have had before.
And I think we all understand and we all know the macro context in which we are today and how that is influencing the policy objectives at the European and national levels. But out of this recent process of reevaluating our energy security, the objectives for the Europe now for 2030 are significantly higher than they were before, to achieve 35 BCM by 2030. Can you give us an overview of what you think the key policy instruments and initiatives are that are taking place, or that either have come through recently or might be coming through soon, that will have an influence on achieving that 2030 35 BCM objective?
Yes, it's really a challenge for this sector. I mean, it's almost a tenfold increase until 2030. So we really have to start working quite immediately, I think. And I think an interesting thing here is that as we are working very close with the Commission now, we can really have not everyday work together, of course, but we are planning everything together with the Commission. We are talking with the Commission all the time, so that means also that we have the possibility to get the opportunities here, and we can also get some kind of platform to produce as much biomethane as possible. And I think a very, very vital thing here is that together with the EBA, the Commission has started a partnership, a new public-private partnership called Biomethane Industrial Partnership, which we call it BIP. And that is a kind of work that the Commission, together with the biogas market, together with the industry, is trying to see how we can reach these 35 billion cubic meter until 2030. And in the biomethane, or I should say in the BIP, it's easier, we have already started with five different task forces, where every one of these task forces is subject to how we can reach these 35 BCM as soon as possible. And I think that's the most vital thing just now. And these five task forces is very different. Focus on the creation of national biomethane targets, so that every country in Europe will do whatever they can to reach their own targets. And another thing is how we can increase the biomethane production capacity as soon as possible, to identify barriers to then scale up the investments, so to say. So that's different task forces, and if we do that properly, I think then we have the possibility to reach the target. Yes.
Those task forces there will be the what they're set up to do is to recommend policy, is to put policy recommendations in place, or is it also to assign funding? What position of influence does the task force, these different task forces, have?
That depends, of course, which kind of task force it'll be. If I take these the task force number one, to reach national biomethane targets as soon as possible, of course there is no special policy paper other than that we and the Commission will really work together to speak to all the countries around the European Union to see that everyone do whatever they can. So, I mean, the goal there is not a paper. The goal there is that, well, it could be a paper if we say that every country should have their own strategy and their own target. And so, of course, that you can call a paper maybe, but the important thing there is that everyone, every country, do whatever they can to reach this this goal. And in other places, if we are talking about the barriers, I mean, for in many countries, definitely in Sweden, it takes years before you have your first plans to set up a biogas plant until you really can start to build it. There is a lot of barriers. Maybe you could cut these barriers so it can you can go down from, let's say, 5-6 years until 1 or 2 years before you can start to build this plant. And I should also say that in these task forces, they are co-chaired by one person from the Commission and one person from the industry. So we are really working together with the Commission in this things.
That's interesting, what you've just said. Is that a novel structuring when of these kind of task forces? Is that a new aspect of how the EU and industry collaborate, or is that an example from other areas where there's been a person from the Commission, a person from industry on the same co-chairing, or is that something new?
This is new for our sector, but it's not new for the Commission, because they have had these kind of setups concerning hydrogen, concerning battery for the electricity and so on. I think in the other parts concerning hydrogen and so on, they call it the alliances, and in this case we call it a partnership. So that's but it's almost the same setup. Yes,
I get you. So this the co-chairing is obviously a formula that that works and makes sense, which is why it's being replicated here. Okay. And then as we so we understand clearly from what you said that there are real initiatives coming through and in place and coming through more and more that have a broad overarching policy impact that then filter down to the national level. But going further, if I think of from bottom up, if you like, by bottom I mean I'm referring to feedstocks. So if I think of the different range of feedstocks from which the possibility to create biogas through anaerobic digestion exists, then how if I'm a farmer, or if I'm if I have some kind of food production with some side streams, some people might call them wastes, some people might call them residues, other people might call them resources. I think more and more we think of them as resources. So if I have some of these different mix of these different potential feedstocks, how important would you say, or what role will the agriculture be able to contribute? What contribution will the agriculture be able to make to reaching the 35 BCM by 2030?
First of all, I would just mention that the task force number 3 is exactly what you are talking about, to identify the potentials across the EU for innovative biomass sources. So that is really something that is important for us in the future. Just recently there came a new report saying, I think it has... I don't know if it's out yet, but it was presented by the conference, and that says that until 2030 it will be possible to have feedstocks produced, so we can produce over 40 BCM in the European Union and 45 in the whole Europe, excluding Ukraine. But that means that, comparing with a goal, 35 BCM, it says that yes, it is possible to reach this level if we just look at the feedstock. So that's a good start anyhow. And of course, when we are talking about the feedstock, the agriculture sector is definitely the number one in this case. And so the agriculture sector is very, very important. And I think a good thing here is that we can really help the farmers in Europe to get a good start with having a wider sector to work with. I mean, not only producing food, but they should also produce biogas and then biomethane from manure and from subsequent crops and so on. And then they can also produce fertilizer from this biogas plant. So we get them a bigger possibility to have a good economy in the future. I think that is really one of the main topics for the farmers, I guess, in this case. But on at the same time, the Commission is very, very clear that every cubic meter of biogas and biomethane must be, should I say, sustainable produced. So we also have a target that we must all these volumes must be sustainable produced, and that's very, very important. It was more than one time during this conference we had 2 weeks ago that they noticed that the sustainable issue is very, very important in this case. But I think that's good. Then we can be a really clean sector for the future. And when we talk about the feedstock, of course, everything cannot come from the agriculture sector. We also have waste from households, waste from industry, and so on. We have, of course, wastewater. I mean, sludge from wastewater and so on, that we also have to take care of very much more than we do today. So all this must cooperate and work together in so that we can reach the goal. And I think that if I go back to just waste there we have a lot to do, because waste doesn't have to be waste. Waste is a new feedstock in many cases. So that we have to take care of that in a good way, in a proper way in the future, better than we have done before.
Anders, can I ask you on a slightly different question at this point? The as we all understand the drive to find alternatives to the to Russian gas, Russian natural gas, and obviously also the fundamental question of mitigating against climate change are drivers for all renewable energy. I mean, as in creating a favorable market environment for renewable energy, and particularly with biogas, biomethane. As you mentioned before, there's been a lot of emphasis on production and streamlining production, and pressure production efficiency, and growing production. But obviously, there needs to be there needs to be a long-term link between the two, and there needs to be a sustainable long-term market demand. For there to be an interest in producing. Do you see that as do you see that sustainable long-term, do you see that long-term demand as being sustainable? Do you think the market drivers are there that will encourage investment and the uptake of increased production?
Yes, I would say that if I look, let's say 10 years ago, the production. Hello, the biogas sector was very, very, very focused on the production of biogas and biomethane. Of course, that's natural because we have a rather, if you could call it, a rather new product, or at least a new product out on the market. And we have to, as you also said, we have to be more efficient when we are producing this product. And at that time, the market was actually not really there from the beginning. We have to have a lot of help from, at least if I compare with Sweden, all the municipalities were active to get biogas and biomethane for buses and so on. But the industry was not there. But the industry was using a lot of natural gas for different purpose. And now when we have these new activities from the Eastern with the Russian war and so on, suddenly everyone must see how they can both reduce their fossil products and of course also get the energy as easy as possible. And that means that the market is really interested in for the moment. I have been traveling a lot in Europe the last time, and I have spoken to the industry, both the steel industry and the food industry. We have two producers of heavy trucks in Sweden. Been talking to them too, and also the shipping industry, especially in the Nordic countries, I've been active talking to, and every one of them have just one word: yes, we want biogas. Yes, we want biomethane. And what they are wondering is, where can we find it? So suddenly, during these years, we have completely 180 degrees turnaround. Then because now the market is very interested in our product, not only because it's fossil, but because it can also in sometimes be cheaper than natural gas. So we have all the possibilities for the future. I'm quite sure that our product will need subsidies in different times for a lot of years now, especially subsidies that makes us produce, get the new plants as soon as possible. But at the same time, I am quite sure that the market will help us to reach the new goals, because the market wants to be green, and it wants to have as safe energy supply as possible. And of course, this is something that didn't happen exactly the 24th of February. I mean, I can see that the industry has been more and more interested during the last, let's say, 4, 5, 6 years to our product. And I could also say that I really think that the market has been a little bit faster than the politicians. The markets saw for already 5, 6 years ago that this is interesting. And if I'm maybe a little irony, I can see that the politicians, they woke up in the beginning of this year. Not quite true, but something of that part.
Obviously, there were some initiators for many years, but maybe it's just become an imperative for everybody. In the political sphere to prioritize these questions.
And I think also in one way you could say that the time is very good for the moment, because we have been active in developing the technique for the produce of biogas. We have upgrading production is better and better for every year. We have also started in different parts of Europe with liquefying the biogas and biomethane. So I mean, we are there now. We are mature enough to tell the market that now we can produce more. We just want to know how much and in what kind of way you want your biomethane.
Right, I'm going to pick up on the example of shipping that you gave, because I think that's really an interesting one. Is one of these two specifically very hard to abate, hard to defossilize sectors, along with the aviation, who have sustainable aviation fuels. But with the shipping sector, as you say, the bio LNG route is really becoming a mainstream option to move away from diesel fuel for ships. And it's interesting, because obviously we're based here in France, and the initiatives announced recently by ENGIE and CMA and the investments they are making to bring bio LNG as a shipping fuel in large volumes into play and into the distribution chain are significant. That's another significant example of how biogas, biomethane another example of a market driver for biogas and biomethane. So there is hope.
definitely there is. In the Baltic Sea and the Nordic Sea, the regulations for the diesel or oil or whatever they use were much, much harder in these parts of Europe than from 2015. So that's the year when they started to look at LNG. But very soon after they started to look at LNG, they also were interested in bio-LNG. So it's coming more and more for every year now.
Yep. So these are all good things. So one word that's sort of popping into my mind as we chat, Anders, and we've kind of touched on it, but without actually saying the word itself, is innovation. We talked about efficiency, improving the process. I am talking about production mainly, but maybe it's not only in production. But in terms of the initiatives that are coming through at the European level that we talked about before, the high level initiatives that filter down to the national level, how is in the task groups that you mentioned, is there any focus on innovation, how to support innovation in this sphere, in this space?
Yes, there is actually one of these task forces. I think it's number five. I think it's that is very much about research and development in different cases, and to get more and more efficient biomethane production in the future. Also, not only production, but as we have a big natural gas, if I call it natural gas grid in Europe, it's important that that grid also could be a biomethane grid in the future. So that's one of these issues in the Task Force 5, to really see how we can not only develop the product, but also develop the infrastructure so that everyone can reach it as soon as possible.
So the supply and the distribution in order to reach the market and the demand. Okay.
Exactly.
And obviously innovation is key to bringing down costs and encouraging scale up and encouraging investment.
Yeah, and I think if you are talking about innovation, I think also this Task Force 5 is, of course, looking at possibilities in the close future. But we also, as you mentioned in the beginning, we must see this also in the long run. And therefore, I'm also quite sure that we will have a really exciting development and combination between biomethane, hydrogen, electricity in the future. And we will have special plants, not only biogas, but biomass plants producing both biomethane, biogas, producing hydrogen, and so on. So in 10 years, it's funny because I spoke of these types of plants for 15 years ago, but I was a little bit too early. So I think everyone has forgotten what I talked about then, but I will start it all over again.
Just dust off your notes.
because I'm quite sure that now is the time to see, especially as everyone is, not everyone, but many is, they are really interested in hydrogen today. Everyone is definitely interested in how we can produce as much electricity as possible in a sustainable way, of course. And so these three things, electricity, hydrogen, and biomethane, they are, I think they will be more and more linked to each other.
Yep, I think that's definitely going to be the case. And so we can say your time has come, Anders. You're the right man in the right place at the right moment.
Maybe so.
I'm sure there are many others next to you, men and women who fit into the same under the same label. Lots of people working together in this common direction. So we talked then. You just mentioned, as future perspectives. Are there any other elements that you see in the future? I'm thinking of things. I'm thinking of other routes to pathways to achieve biomethane. I'm thinking of maybe things like carbon capture and utilization, or carbon capture and storage. How do you see these other aspects fitting into this longer term picture?
Well, I think they will be more and more interesting in the future. If we first look at as I was mentioning before, if we have gasification, we have power to gas, and so on. These things will definitely come in the future, and they are also very close to what we spoke about, hydrogen and electricity production. And of course, the possibility to save bio CO2, that is also very, very important. But now we are talking about I mean, if we see about CCS and so on, this is not quite developed yet. So it's difficult to say where it will end, but as it is very important for many parts in the European Union and the industry, I'm quite sure that it will come, well, if not rather soon, so at least not too late, I hope. But we should also remember that if it's not easy to reach these goals with the what they are speaking about with the CCS, because it costs also a lot of energy to get this CCS. I mean, if you produce some kind of energy, if you want to have some save the CO2 to capture it in one way or another, it is maybe not 10 but 20 25% of the energy in that case will go to the CCS. So it's not for free, so to say. But anyway, if especially if we have bio CO2, it's definitely interesting to take care of it as good as possible. Absolutely.
Exactly. And maybe in some senses, CCU would be a more climate friendly way of utilizing it, utilizing rather than storage, if storage involves additional costs in, or energy, and also,
And I mean, as you say, it's there are a lot of markets for CO2. So if we can take care of that one and use it instead of storage, it's of course even better.
And in fact, I'm all these interrelated subjects we're talking about is exactly what we try and bring into focus at the event in Nantes at Bio360 Expo, because we work very closely on with other organizations based in Brussels, such as yourselves, like CO2 Value Europe, like EBI for biochar, and Bioenergy Europe, so that we try and make this crossover between these otherwise viewed, historically viewed as discrete segments, sections, sectors that have so much to offer transversely in terms of reaching all of these climate change objectives that we have to reach. Okay, super. Well, I
And would you say there is it's interesting, because if you look at it from the outside, the biogas sector has been a rather small player in the energy sector, if you or the fertilizer sector and so on. But I think we will change from being a small, and we have also been a small player for not having too much activities with other sectors. But in the future, we will not be one of the real big players, but we will be quite bigger than we are today. And we will be, as you said, we will be interactive, be more interacting with other sectors in the future.
That's looking like the tendency, the tend the trend, that trend will see more and more. I think that's true. So, Anders, it remains for me just to say thank you very much for being one of our guests and for sharing with us these important viewpoints and perspectives for the future development of biogas and biomethane in Europe. And we look forward to seeing you very much and continuing the discussion with you in Nantes in February.
Well, thank you very much for having me in this discussion, and I really look forward to the conference in February. Really, thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's great. And don't forget to bring a warm coat. You do have some warm coats in Sweden, I know. I've got one.
I promise.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.